kosher. The New Dawn. Responses to Disciples' Questions. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 33.
Beloved Book One, 12 years ago, I left Japan to find my own way without looking back. At that time, I hated to face any reminder that pulled me back to the Japanese conditioning. Now, what I feel is totally different. It seems as if the old Japan has died in me and a new Japan appeared. I can feel a quality of beauty, sensitivity, and a tremendous capacity to expand towards a new world. I used to feel a thick cloud of repression suffocating me. Now, I feel a dance in the air. Beloved Master, what has changed?
Gita. Everything has changed. Fundamentally, you have changed. You are no more the same person who has left Japan 12 years before. Your consciousness has grown new wings. You have dropped all repressive conditioning. Unfortunately, Japan is one of the most repressed countries. It is an ancient influence of Confucius. Confucius has remained dominant for 25 centuries. Over the whole Far East. And Confucius is unparalleled as far as a man of etiquette, mannerism, culture, and civilized ways is concerned. But he is not a man of realization. He knows nothing of the soul. He in fact does not believe that there is even a possibility of an inner world. His whole conception is of the outside world, and how to live in this outside world in a most cultured, refined and graceful way is the foundation of his philosophy. China, Korea, Japan, Thailand, except India, almost the whole Asia has been dominated by Confucius. They all have lived in a tremendously beautiful way, but that beauty is only of the outside, of manners. Their smiles are false, but they have been trained to such a degree that it is absolutely impossible to make any distinction between an authentic smile and a false smile. Perhaps the false looks better because it is practiced. It is a discipline. The Japanese mind is one of the most disciplined minds. But in that discipline, all spontaneity dies. Man lives according to fixed rules, regulations, but has not the freedom of consciousness to respond to situations. And situations are changing every day, every moment. Unless you are also capable of changing with the changing existence, you will never feel joy. You will never feel contented. You will never feel at ease. There will be always a great tension and anguish inside you. The rate of suicide is the highest in Japan. For small reasons, people commit suicide. The tension is so much that suicide seems to be easier than living under the pressure and tension. And the pressure and tension is so respectable that anybody who goes against it is so badly condemned that rebels don't exist in Japan. The rebellion as such is not known to Japan. It has created a very strange society where everybody is fake, beautiful, but unauthentic, looks joyous, but without joy. Only the appearance is well painted, the interior is empty. Gita, your coming to me was coming to a totally and diametrically opposite world. Here I emphasize spontaneity, not discipline. Here my teaching is to be responsible in the moment. Don't act out of your knowledge, but act out of your consciousness. Don't be dictated by any discipline, howsoever old, howsoever ancient. Withdraw yourself away from all the conditioning and live an unconditional, spontaneous, moment to moment changing, flowing, and relaxed life. To me, there is no other way of being religious. All that is known as religion has been only destroying people's lives. It has been poisoning their naturalness. It has been creating immense tension and allowing no relaxation. And except man, the whole existence is utterly relaxed. The moment you are tense, you are no more part of existence. You are left alone. That creates great anxiety. If you are relaxed, the stars are with you, and the trees, and the rivers, and the mountains, and the birds, everything is with you. The whole existence suddenly turns into a home. You are not a foreigner in existence. You are not an outsider. You are not a stranger. You belong to it. You are rooted in it. Your life and its life are not two separate things. They are one phenomenon. The whole idea of separation is false. I know these 12 years you have been with me. You have not looked back towards Japan. Japan as a main current is a very fossil society. It consists of dead people, but a small part is very alive, but it is not the main current. it flows side by side with the main current. But that is the true japa, its very soul. That is small part consists of those people who are committed totally to only one single thing, and that is meditation. They have focused their all energies only on one point: how to get beyond mind. Those few people are the very soul. They are the living people, the most living people. In their monasteries, they are living a life as natural as possible, as full of reverence towards existence as human nature allows. Those are the most beautiful flowers you can find anywhere in the world. Coming here, you have found really the living japa. That's why there has not been a need to look back. When I was arrested in America, the first protest came from a Zen monastery from Japan. Then thousands of protests came from all over the world. But the first to reach was from Japan, from a Zen master, to the President of America and to the jailer where I was kept, and the jailer could not believe. He rushed to me and showed me the telegram. Do you know this man? I said, I don't know. But a Zen master from Japan has written to the President of America that we are teaching Zen in our monastery and in our university from the books of Bhagwan. And by arresting a man who is absolutely innocent, and you don't have any proof, any evidence against him, and keeping him in jail without giving him bail, is so ugly that it condemns your whole propaganda of being a democratic country. We vehemently protest and want you to understand that anybody in the world who is interested in the inner growth of man will feel the same. It is not only our feeling. just 2 days before, I received a message that one of my books, The Supreme Understanding, has been sold the greatest number that any book has been sold in Japan. 60,000 copies, and it is still in demand for more editions. It has gone through 12 editions already. Somebody has sent the list of the books. My books are the top sellers. Next to me is Friedrich Nietzsche. And then third comes somebody Japanese. Although I have not been in Japan, but almost 24 books have been translated in Japanese and have been received with great love and understanding. Almost every university in Japan is speaking Zen through my book. It is their tradition. They have developed it. But my interpretations have appealed them more than their own commentaries and their own interpretations. Coming to me, Gita, you have come to yourself, to Japan's very soul. It was because of this fact that you never missed Japan. You are saying 12 years ago, I left Japan to find my own way without looking back. You have found your own way. Now there is no need of looking back at all. At that time, I hated to face any reminder that pulled me back to the Japanese condition. Now, what I feel is totally different. It is bound to be so. Because now you understand not the superficial Japan and its social structure. Now you have looked into the greatest contribution Japan has made to the world. Zen. It is the purest form of meditation. There are thousands of ways of meditation, but nothing is so pure and so refined as Zen. Now you will look at Japan certainly in a totally different way, with great respect. Now what is apparent to the ordinary eye is not to you the real Japan. The real Japan is hidden in the monasteries, in the mountains. It has to be found within yourself and nowhere else. It seems as if the old Japan has died in you and a new Japan appears. It is absolutely true. I can feel a quality of beauty, sensitivity, and a tremendous capacity to expand towards a new world. I used to feel a thick cloud of repression suffocating me. Now I feel a dance in the air. Beloved Master, what has changed? You have changed. You have come to know something of the inner. You have become relaxed. You are no more clouded by tensions. You are no more surrounded by conditionings of a certain society, a certain land, a certain country. You have become, in this gathering, a citizen of a world. Of a world that is going to come. These are the new arrivals here. The first arrivals of a world. Of a whole new world. With a whole new conception of man. You are heralding a new dawn, a new beginning. You may not understand exactly right now that through you, human consciousness is moving towards a new height. Dropping all that is rotten and old and creating a new garden with fresh flowers, with more colors, with more variety, with more individuality, with unique being. With a totally new vision of life, it's spontaneous, alert, moment to moment, living, neither being bothered by the past, nor being tortured by the future. A humanity that knows only one state of time and space. For time only now, and for space only here. And 12 years are enough. To destroy your personality and to give you a rebirth and bring a new individuality to you. it has arrived. Hence, you feel a dance in the air. Because the dance is now in your heart. After their first date, Mary refused to see George anymore. Not to be put off so easily, George began writing to her. He was so infatuated that he sent a special delivery letter twice a day for 63 consecutive days. On the 64th day, the campaign produced results. Mary ran off with the mailman. 12 years are going to produce some result, Gita. Right?
Beloved Bhagwan, my biggest fear and limitation, as far as I can discover, is the fear of being left alone. I feel that this always had, and still has, a strong influence on my life and my relationships. Besides feeling this fear and letting it be there, which I obviously haven't done enough, is there any other way out of it? Beloved Master, would you like to talk about this fear of being left and alone?
The fear of being left alone. It's something natural. Because everybody is born innocently. So from the very beginning, one is always within a certain group, a certain crowd, a certain religion. Always there are people surrounding you. So being amongst people becomes almost natural to us. Although it is only a habit, it is not natural. As far as nature is concerned, everybody is born alone. It does not matter that one is born in a family. 9 months in the mother's womb, you are alone. After you are being born, whenever you will close your eyes, you will find your aloneness. Even in the marketplace, just close your eyes and you will find yourself alone. Aloneness is your very nature. And the crowd is just a habit. But the habit has become so strong. And you have become so unaware of your nature that it is always a fear that if everybody leaves you, what you are going to do. In fact, you don't know who you are if everybody leaves you. It is their opinions which create an identity for you. Somebody says to you, Sadhan, you are so beautiful. He is giving you a certain identity. Somebody says you are so intelligent. Somebody says you are so joyful. Somebody says you are so loving. These are all opinions. They may have been expressed only as a form of etiquette. They may not mean anything. But you collect these opinions. And this is what your personality is. Your personality depends on what people say about you. That's why everybody is so much concerned about his reputation, his name, his prestige. And society exploits this situation very cleverly. It keeps everybody trembling, afraid, because the society has the power to take away your respectability, your honor. You are a slave unknowingly because you depend on the society for your identity. Without that identity, you don't know who you are. That is the ultimate fear of being left alone. That you will not know who are you. I have told you a Sufi story. A Sufi mystic comes to Mecca. It is a festival time when Mohammedans from all over the world come to Mecca. It is part of their religion that at least every Mohammedan once in a life must go to Mecca. And I have seen poor Mohammedans, and Mohammedans are poor because of their certain religious ideas, and they are so fanatic that they cannot change those ideas, and unless they change those ideas, they are not going to be rich. Their ideas simply go against the whole economics. Mohammedans are against giving money on interest or taking money on interest. Now the whole world economics depends on interest. The whole banking, the whole business, even the nations Even the greatest industrialists, the super rich, all are dependent on loans. And nobody is going to give you money without interest. And modernism is against interest, that it is the greatest sin to take interest or to give interest. Naturally, Mohammedans have remained the poorest people of the world. I have seen poor Mohammedans selling their houses, their lands, or whatsoever they had, just to go at least once to Mecca. Otherwise, they are not perfect Mohammedans. How they are going to face their God? He will ask the first question, have you been to Mecca or not? This Sufi mystic, a poor Mohammedan, went to Mecca. All the hotels are full. All the caravan salons are full. And he is not a rich man. He knocked on many doors, but from everywhere he was refused. And millions of people have gathered, and in the desert, in the cold night, hungry and thirsty, how he is going to survive? Finally, he told to a manager of the hotel, that I will lie down anywhere on the steps, in the basement, but at least for the night I am tired. I have been walking miles and miles to reach here. The manager said, I can see you are tired and you look a very simple and humble man. I cannot refuse you, but the trouble is we don't have any room, any place. Just one thing is possible. In one room, I have given to a man, he is rich, it is a double bedroom, he is alone, but he has paid for the room. I can ask him, perhaps he may feel some compassion for you, so come with me. The man said, there is no problem because one bed is empty. And why send this poor man? He can go to sleep. So the manager left, and the mystic, with his turban, with his shoes, with his coat, went to bed. Even with his shoes on, everything as he was, and of course his sleep was difficult, he was tossing and turning, and because of his tossing and turning, the man to whom the room belonged could not sleep. Finally he said, listen, I have allowed you to sleep, but you don't sleep. You are simply tossing and turning, and I can see In such a situation, nobody can sleep. You have not even taken your shoes off. Your turban is on. You are sleeping in a tight coat. It is impossible. And you are not allowing me either to sleep. The mystic said, it is a great problem. The man said, what is the great problem? He said, you are sleeping naked. I also have the habit of sleeping naked. So the man said, then what is the problem? Just get naked and go to sleep. He said, it is not so easy. The problem is, if I go naked to sleep in the morning, how I am going to find who is me, you or me? Because my only identity is my clothes, my turban, my shoes. Naked, I don't have any identity. So in the morning, who will say, who am I? The man laughed at the stupidity. He said, I will suggest you something. Just look in the corner. Some toy. Perhaps the previous people who must have stayed in the room, their children must have left it. So he said, do one thing, take that toy, tie it in your feet and go to sleep. In the morning you can see that the toy is there, so it is certainly you. The mystic said, that sounds absolutely right. He dropped his clothes, got naked. The other man helped in tying the toy to his feet, and he fell asleep and immediately started snoring. He was really tired. And the other man had an idea. He untied the toy, tied it to his feet and went to sleep. In the morning, the mystic woke up, looked at his feet, looked at the other man's feet and said, my God, I know you are me, but who am I? It is absolutely certain you are me, because the tie is there on your feet. But now the problem arises, who am I? Mystics have used this story for centuries. To tell to you that your whole identity is a very non-essential thing. And those are the opinions given by others to you. They can withdraw their opinions. Hence people are always afraid not to do anything that goes against the tradition, the religion, the political ideology, the nationalist attitude. Even if it seems absolutely wrong, but people go on supporting it for the simple reason that they are afraid that if they raise their voice against anything traditional, the society can withdraw its identity that it has given to you. And then you will not know who you are. And this is the fear, sadhana, that if you are left alone, how you will know who you are? Those people are all gone who had made you something, somebody. And the fear remains until you come to know yourself directly, not via others. And these are the two things to be remembered. When you know yourself via others, it is your personality. Just a thin layer of opinion. When you know yourself directly, you know your individuality. And once you have known your individuality, the fear of being left alone disappears. There is no other way. You are asking my biggest fear and limitation, as far as I can discover, is the fear of being left alone. This is not only your fear. This is the fear every human being suffers from. It is good that you have become aware of it, because that is the first step of getting rid of it. I feel that this always had and still has a strong influence on my life and my relationships. If the fear is there, it is bound to have influence on your life, because you will always move in such a way so that you are not left alone. Whatever the price you have to pay, even if you have to remain a slave of your whole life, if you have to sell your soul, you will sell it, but you will remain surrounded by the crowd. It feels cozy, secure, safe. You know who you are. It will destroy your whole spiritual beauty, your spiritual glory. It will destroy your all possibilities of inner growth. And it is going to influence your relationships. Millions of people go on living in relationships which are simply hell. But just out of the fear that they will be left alone, they go on clinging. It is miserable, it is a great suffering, it is a torture, but at least somebody is with you. In comparison to be left alone, it is better to be miserable, but to be with someone. That is one of the reasons why millions of people go on suffering and still go on clinging to the same relationship which are not giving them any nourishment. But are simply destructive, suicidal. Only a man or a woman who is capable of being alone is also capable of being in a relationship without being destroyed by it. Because being alone is no more a fear. If some relationship is creating misery, you can simply get out of it. Nobody can prevent you. It is a very pathetic situation that millions of people are clinging to each other just out of fear that they should be left alone. And to be alone is our nature. There is nothing to fear. Only you have to experience it. Once you have experienced in your deep silences of the heart the beauty of your aloneness and the ecstasy of your aloneness, all fear will be gone and you will laugh at your past, that how stupid you have been and what have you been doing with yourself. Besides feeling this fear and letting it be there, which I obviously have not done enough, is there any other way out of it? There is only one way out of it. And that is learn to enter in your aloneness as often as possible. Whenever you have a chance, don't unnecessarily get busy to avoid your aloneness. Whenever you have chance, close your eyes, sit silently, relax, and look inside. Slowly, slowly the turmoil settles, the mind becomes quiet, and a deep silence prevails, and suddenly you start feeling your innermost being, your very center of life, which is alone. There is nobody, and there can be never anybody. Nobody can approach there except you. It is your territory. It is the only place which belongs to you. Nobody can take it away, not even death. Death will happen to the outside, to the body, to the mind, but not to this inner space which centuries we have called the soul, the spirit, or the God within you, whatever name you want. But this aloneness, once known, simply removes all fear, On the contrary, it brings a new dimension of blissfulness. Rather than being afraid of aloneness, you become more and more intrigued with its mystery. You want to be more and more alone. In the middle of the night, you will wake and sit in your bed and just move into your aloneness. And it is only a question of going again and again. By your moving in and out, the way becomes easier. The path becomes easier. It becomes so easy that just any moment you close your eyes, you immediately reach, without losing a split second, to the center. Then in the very marketplace, you can be alone in the crowd. And you will feel such a joy arising in you, such a song out of your silence, such fragrance that you have never known before. Sadhana, it is not a big problem. It is a very simple thing. Just because people have forgotten the very idea of going within themselves, it looks something difficult. But I say unto you, it is the simplest thing in the world. This fear of being alone or left alone is not a simple phenomenon. It is very complex. Because of it, many other things happen to you. Jealousy is part of it. Anger is part of it. Sadness is part of it. Attachment is part of it. Possessiveness is part of it. You can see why. Why you want to dominate as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, why you want to dominate? Just to make it sure that the other is absolutely under your control. Here everybody is trying to keep everybody else in control. But deep down, it is only the fear of being alone. And it is not only just today. Perhaps from the very beginning, if there has been ever a beginning, the fear has been there. And sadhana, because you are a woman, it is even more complex. because man has taken away all possibilities of your independence. Mostly he has not allowed you to be educated. He has not allowed you to learn any craftsmanship, any skill. He has not allowed you to be financially free and independent. That was his strategy to keep you in bondage. He is also afraid of left alone. Out of his fear, he has destroyed women's liberty. And the woman is most afraid of left alone, because now she is absolutely dependent. She will not be able to earn. She will not be able to stand on his own. So even if the husband is just a torturer, a sadist, she has to remain with him. At least he takes care about her food, about her clothes, about its center. Coming home very late one night, Adam found Eve waiting angrily. "Late again," she shouted. "You must be seeing some other woman." I consider that accusation widely absurd, said the outraged Adam. "You know perfectly well that you and I are quite alone in this world." Adam stormed off to bed. He was awoken by a tickling sensation on his chest. Opening his eyes, he saw Eve hovering over him, carefully counting his ribs. Because God has created Eve by taking one rib out, she is counting the ribs. Perhaps he may have taken another rib, and somewhere in the surroundings, another woman in the bushes. This fear although natural, but can be dropped, because you have possibilities of rising above nature. Your awareness can go higher, and from those heights, what was very important in the dark valleys of life becomes absolutely unimportant and ridiculous. The day you can laugh about all your fears will be a great day in your life. And I am preparing you for that day. a naive priest is moved to a parish in a bad neighborhood of New York and is bewildered by the many women who are constantly approaching him to whisper $5 for a blowjob, buddy. Not wanting to remain ignorant any longer, he approaches a local nun. "Excuse my ignorance, sister," says the young priest, "but could you please tell me what a blowjob is?" The nun snaps back, $5, just like anywhere else." I am preparing you that one day you can laugh about everything that has been a fear, a misery, a jealousy, a possessiveness, a domination. And you can joke about everything that people are taking too seriously. Two Irish girls were commiserating with each other about their unmarried state. "At least I was two-thirds married once," said Maureen. "What do you mean? Two-thirds married?" asked Eileen. "Well," replied Maureen, "I was there, the priest was there, but that bloody Paddy never showed up." Life is so hilarious. That why you unnecessarily get worried about fear, about misery, and about Latifa. Om. I think most of your problems become important because they are the problems of millions of people. So you think certainly the problems are serious and great and difficult. But it is not a right calculation. Jaime and Becky Goldberg were having a day in the country. Becky saw a lovely place under a tree next to a small pond and pointed it out to Jaime. "That's a beautiful spot for a picnic," she said. it must be deer. Shraddhaini, 50 million mosquitoes can't be wrong. That is the trouble. But I say to you, 50 million mosquitoes may not be wrong, but 50 million human beings may be wrong. Because they are simply imitating each other. It is the same story. They are all playing the same story, the same role. And just because the whole crowd is suffering from the same problem, a small problem becomes an epidemic. If you look at the problem and forget the 50 million mosquitoes, it is a very small problem and a very small method can bring you out of it.
Beloved Bhagwan, although at the time I looked, felt, and behaved more like a mafia heavy than a meditator, you gave me the name Dhyan Vipal. Over 2 years have passed since I took sannyas, and although some people still say I look like a gangster, I don't often feel and very seldom behave like one. Moments of silence and peacefulness have penetrated my tough outward exterior and have become more prolonged and frequent. The longer I spend here with you, the more I see the possibility of really becoming the name you have given me. Do you think it will help if I drop my sunglasses and toothpicks?
The first thing, you need not be worried what the 50 million mosquitoes say. You simply be yourself. If you like your sunglasses, there is no question of dropping them. But if you yourself are feeling that they are unnecessary, are they no more suit your new individuality that is arising, then certainly you should drop them. But not because what others say. Always remember, I am absolutely against for any change because of the crowd mind. If you look a mafia heavy, it is perfectly good. if you look like a gangster, that's great. I need all kinds of people. I trust in variety. Few mafia guys are certainly needed. So I don't think you have to drop your sunglasses and toothpicks. Because once you drop them, somebody else is going to pick them. Here are many mafia guys. It is better you keep them. But if you feel that changes that are happening in you, you may never have thought about it, that when changes in your inner being start happening, you want to wear different kind of clothes. You want to have a different haircut. Because whatever you use, your clothes, your sunglasses, your hat, your shoes are extensions of your mind. They are not just by accident there. You have chosen them. They show some quality in you. So if the inner quality changes and suddenly you find that something has become outdated, it no more fits with you, you have to drop it. But not because others are saying to drop it. Never listen to anybody. All these wise guys who go on advising everybody, do this, do that, these are very dangerous people. Their whole effort is to impose their ideas on others. I'm not at all in favor of interfering into anybody's private affair. Now your sunglasses is absolutely a private affair. You are not doing any harm to anybody. Why somebody should get upset? People are there who will get upset because you are having sunglasses. It is their problem if they get upset. Let the whole world be upset, but don't drop your sunglasses. Because you don't know about all these wise guys. What is their situation? You stick to your own individuality. Yes, if inner changes need outer changes, you have to listen to your inner voice. Go always according to it. That is your guide. And nobody else has the right to interfere into your life. The Pope is working on a crossword puzzle. On Sunday afternoon, he stops for a moment, he scratches his head, then asks the cardinal, "Can you think of a four-letter word meaning woman that ends in U-N-T? Aunt," replies the cardinal. "That's it," says the Pope, blessing. "Have you got an eraser?" These are the wise guys. Who are advising everybody. They are the representatives of God. Particularly the Pope is infallible and still he needs an eraser. Don't be bothered by anybody. Simply be authentic and true to yourself. It will be something grand to see a mafia guy becoming a Gautam Buddha. With his eye, with his sunglasses on the eye, with his toothpick, looking like a gangster. The world needs just one variety of Gautam Buddha, one size, one shape. It is boring. I am in support of every kind of people, of all sizes and all shapes, of unique personalities, of individualities which have no parallel anywhere, to become enlightened. But this is possible only if you don't become a follower, if you don't become a believer, if you don't imitate, if you simply listen to your own still small voice. And without any fear, trusting it courageously, go on moving wherever it leads. Only then we will have in the world different flowering, with different fragrances. And a world immensely rich. The crowd hates uniqueness. It likes similarity. It wants you all to be the same. It does not want you to extend alone, separate, a sunlit peak. They hate individuals. I love individuals. And the crowd mind has been the most destructive mind. And my suggestion to my people is, never be influenced by the crowd. Try to remain aloof. Try to remain yourself. Only then is the possibility of someday your night comes to an end and a new dawn, a new beginning. A new birth. A new ecstasy. A new dawn. A new song overwhelms you. That new dawn is very close. Just you have to remember to be yourself authentically, sincerely. Up to now, mankind has lived as a crowd. From now onwards, if mankind wants to live at all, it has to live as individuals, not as crowds. Okay, that's
it. Yes, Papa.
See now.